Oh, welcome in everybody to Amalgamation Nation episode 173. It is Tuesday, May 20th, 2021. We got a lot of gaming news to get into, including GTA talk. We've got Blizzard working on some things, lowering some stuff, new stuff with their characters that they announced. We've got AT&T merging with Discovery Plus, which is going to be insane, and a whole bunch of other stuff, including Nintendo putting up a paywall for remade games. We'll get into all of that. Of course, you can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram. It's at AmNationPod on both of those. On YouTube, search Amalgamation Nation and hit that sub button. You can listen to us on your podcast platform of choice, such as Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Bullhorn, whatever you use. Look up Amalgamation Nation on there. Follow the show so you get updated when the new episodes drop, including we just released our Invincible review, the hits animated series from Amazon. Myself, BK, and Big Los talked about that, so that was pretty cool. As well, so check that out and share it with a friend. If you have any questions or comments and want to be a part of the show, leave a voicemail or text the show, 815-556-9089. All this month, we've been raising money for St. Jude's Children's Hospital. And we had a goal of $500. If we hit $500, I take a pie to the face on stream. We hit the goal. So tonight after the show, make sure you head to twitch.tv/undeadblackbull to watch me live take a pie to the face on stream. Now, you can still donate until the end of the month for us. The link is still on our pinned Twitter at AMNationPod. It's also on David's Twitter at undeadblackbull. And it's got on twitch.tv/undeadblackbull. You can either see the QR code in the corner of the screen while David's streaming, or down below in his information, it's there too. While you're there, make sure you give David a follow and a sub. If you have Amazon Prime, you get a free sub a month, so give it to Undead Red Bull. And finally, if you need, or you're looking for a way to organize all your gaming backlog, the games you like to play, you want to leave reviews for games, that's all good, and it's all awesome stuff to do. So download the GG app and search AM Nation Pod on there to follow us. We've got reviews up on there and list as well, keeping track of some of the games we're playing this year and games that we've enjoyed in general. So go ahead and check all that out. Now, joining me for the show tonight, from North Carolina, Brendan B.K. Kennerly. B.K., how are you?
Good. I'm good. We're at Friday Junior here. Recorded some great podcasts the other two nights. If you haven't listened to them, check them out. And can't wait for you to take a pie in the face later. It's the highlight of my day, honestly.
I'm glad that's the highlight of everybody's day today. Also, joining us this evening, twitch.tv/undeadblackbull. David, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Pretty good. Also, if you might hear him at times, if he decides to chime in, but he is here. Guadalupe Moyolon Escobel. Junior, how are you over there under the weather, friend?
I'm dying.
You dying? Okay, well, make sure you hang on in a couple weeks so when we all hang out, you're not dying. So just hang in there, take your vitamins, say your prayers, brother. You know what I'm saying?
Like Hulk Hogan style. No promises.
Oh, no promises? All right, well, I'll shoot you over some Robitussin. You'll be just fine. Just don't make it into no lean or nothing, though. You gotta be careful with all that. You know, dude, what you want to do, man? You're an adult.
Just put some Vicks VapoRub on it. You'll be good.
I would say just give me some Vicks and spray.
I was gonna say some spray.
There you go.
And then your blanket that has like the white lion on it or the white tiger on it. Boom. There you go.
I actually do have one of those.
It's all black and white. I bet you do. I love it. That's fantastic. At some point in the show, Monster Hunter Mike is also going to join us, so don't be weirded out when you hear his voice at some point as well. All right, let's start with this. What are we playing? BK, I'm going to start with you. What you been playing?
Some more Death Stranding, and it's getting some more elements outside of like delivering boxes, like getting some like little grenades to combat the BTs. Now it's getting interesting. Then playing Wasteland 3 when my mother-in-law and brother-in-law came in town over the weekend. I kind of gave them free access to the TV, so I was on my PC more. And so I was like, oh, it's free on Game Pass. And wow, I'm actually really enjoying it. It's like a turn-based strategy game, very similar to like Gears Tactics, Fire Emblem, XCOM, in the same vein. A lot of fun. Can't wait to see what those guys do next, because it'll be more likely be an Xbox exclusive game. And then I've been binging a lot of shows. Like, I watched all of Jupiter's Legacy, part of the Mark Millar world that's coming to Netflix. First season was meh. The acting's awful. If you want to watch it and just, like, maybe poke fun at the acting, there you go. There you go. The story's not bad. Just the acting is very bad. Very, very bad. Watch Shadow and Bone on Netflix as well. That was really cool. It's like a sci-fi fantasy, like,
have you YA read the books? Fiction thing.
I have not. I know they're books, but I have not read them. But it was cool. And then, like, I've only checked out the first couple episodes of Castlevania on there, but hopefully I'll finish that here in the next couple days.
Castlevania is a very good anime on there. Very, very good. Melissa, pie. Yes, indeed. After the show, there will be pie in the face. And
let her know she has to come over to Twitch, though. Yeah,
Melissa, I will send you, I'm going to shoot you the link. I'm going to text you the link to when the show ends so you can jump on over and watch me get pied in the face. Got to make sure we clip it too. Josh, so there's a side note.
I was on
Dosa OJ this week. If you haven't checked that out, it's a fantastic podcast with Josh and Owen, man. It really is. Those two have just great chemistry. But I joined them this week. You can find that where you find Amalgamation Nation on your podcast platform of choice. And Josh, it has to be during the show. He said, I've got an inside source that says you're taking a pie to the face on the podcast this week. And I said, yes, I am. And he asked, you know, why? So I explained it, you know, it's for charity and all that. And this was the goal. And I wasn't going to do it. I was like, why am I taking a pie to the face? That seems kind of silly. But then we set the goal at 500 because people such as Elaine and Garrett and others were pushing real heavy for me to get a pie to the face. So that is going to happen tonight. So yeah, twitch.tv/undeadblackbull. Come on over. Watch me get pie in the face. David, what you been playing?
I've been playing MLB The Show. Still doing my Diamond Dynasty and Road to the Show a little bit. Diamond Dynasty has kind of calmed down a little bit. I kind of just do the daily challenge just because I want to finish that every day. And then they usually release their weekly one, I think this week. I think today or tomorrow it comes out with the update for, like, so they have like a whole week of activity, like, and each usually like an activity like someone threw a no-hitter, which is not so surprisingly anymore, but we always have to play it in the show as a moment of the game. So you have to do something that recreates, not like a special moment. So you have to do something similar to that, which isn't too bad to do, but I think that comes out today or tomorrow where they'll have the next week released, which you can just knock out, which then you get a couple decent cards again and get another nice diamond card usually out of that group. And then, yeah, I've been watching the same thing. Me, the wife and I have been watching, we did watch Jupiter Legacy a little bit. We didn't finish it. We're only like a couple episodes in. We have been watching Power, which we're kind of late on. But it's really good, cause we like that type of show. So, we've been watching that. We're like, I think we started like on Friday on the weekend. We're already like on season 3 or almost 4, and they're like hour long episodes. So we've been, we've been powering through that. So, yeah, we also have to watch Demon Slayer since we've seen the movie, so we gotta watch the whole entire
set your heart anime. Ablaze, set your heart ablaze, everybody. Fantastic, absolutely fantastic. I've also been playing MLB The Show a little bit. I've actually haven't been playing as much. I'm getting ready for this trip, so I haven't been doing that. And then this week I was busy every day with shows, so I didn't get to play too much. Watching wise, I have been watching a lot of Bleach. That's what I'm working on right now. Been trying to watch that and a few other things too. But I'm at Ichigo versus Kenny right now is basically where I'm at. So I'm like at episode 40, I think. I officially hit 40 today.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm getting there. I'm gonna get there. I'll watch a bunch of it in the car ride, so it'll be great. Fantastic. I've watched the first couple episodes of Shadow and Bone, and I really liked it. So I have to keep watching that because I really was really digging that. So I'm gonna jump back into that. The Jupiter Legacy thing. I was waiting to sell for somebody to tell me what they thought about it because I was looking at reviews and people weren't very kind to it. It's kind of tough because, you know, obviously we were spoiled with The Boys, I think, and stuff like
that. Feels like,
yeah,
feel like The Boys.
Does it?
It's
like
a little late.
It's like, yeah, their version of The Boys, but like it's like I already got The Boys. So like, why do I want another The Boys? I get it.
it. I mean, I'm only a couple episodes in, but that's how I have that feeling that it's like, it feels like it's like The Boys, but like a ripoff Netflix movie of it, Netflix type of it.
Gotcha. All right. Well, we'll see. I might have to jump into that at some point too. Let's get in to the news. First and foremost, Nickelodeon is releasing a SpongeBob and Avatar podcast beginning in June. They're partnering with iHeartRadio. Now, I'm going to go through these real quick. So the SpongeBob show is called SpongeBob Binge Pants and is hosted by SpongeBob fans and personalities Frankie Grande and Hector Navarro. There will be 40 episodes in the Rewatch podcast where Grande and Navarro talk about individual episodes and share never-before-heard secrets about the iconic animated show about a sponge who lives in a pineapple, obviously, under the sea. The show is scheduled to premiere later this year. Then there's the Avatar one. Avatar's podcast is called Braving the Elements, and it debuts June 22nd, so not too far from now. It's hosted by Jeanette Varney, who is the voice of Korra, and Dante Basco, who is the voice of Prince Zuko. It is also a rewatch series that two actors will talk about each episode and share trivia that fans might be interested in. There will also be special guests throughout the season, including other cast members and producers, who will shine light on how the show came to be. That actually does sound really dope. I'm probably not interested in the SpongeBob one, but I'd be really interested in the Avatar one. But if you also really want to hear a really cool Avatar show, you could check out our Weebisode where we broke down and we did a review on Avatar. Just go back in your backlog there at AM Nation Pod. Check it out. Avatar reviewed. It's pretty good. Don't need to know that we had to redo it once. Don't worry about it. It's fine. But go ahead and check out our Avatar review. But I am actually really excited for this Avatar podcast. And David, I know you're a huge fan of Avatar. Does it interest you that you're going to have two voice actors going back and going through the show and like talking about different things about it?
Oh, it depends on what they're going to talk about in the Avatar world. How is this going to be The Last Airbender? Or is this going to be Korra?
Well, I think it's starting with the whole Avatar, The Last Airbender series.
Okay. Then, yeah, I'd probably be interested in that. Well, once it obviously gets into the newer series, I probably would lose interest. I think some people would. You wouldn't, but others probably would. So.
Oh, there's another mic. There he is.
Imagine there.
Very nice. Very nice. BK.
I've got to readjust all the cameras.
Oh, Siri.
Thanks, Mike.
BK, as a fan of Avatar, does the Avatar podcast interest you?
No, like if I was younger and had more free time, possibly, yeah, but I already have like a decent amount of podcasts. Like I listen to, like, I'm like behind on, like, I have a few like historical ones that I listen to, that I have to like catch up on. I think it's neat. I really love The Office, but I don't listen to the one with Pam.
The Office Ladies.
I don't listen to that one. I just don't have like the time, and usually when I listen to podcasts, I'm listening to like us Monday Morning Quarterback, or I'm like listening to stuff where I'm trying to like become learned and not be so dumb.
Learned it. Joining the show, everybody. I mentioned it earlier when we started, but Monster Hunter Mike is here. Mike, how are you?
I'm all right. I'm full. How you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing good. We're doing.
What are you full of, Mike?
Oh,
I ordered Chinese food. That's how you know you're a fat ass when they give you two sets of silverware. So I got two of them. I'm looking forward to 2 fortune cookies after this.
I say, did you use the silverware both sets while you were eating, or?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I made chopsticks with forks.
Oh, that a boy. Proud of you. Proud of you. Right now, we just started, Mike. So what we're talking about is how Nickelodeon is having SpongeBob and Avatar podcast. The Avatar podcast is going to go through the entire Last Airbender series, and they're going to do trivia and all that fun stuff. It's the voice of Prince Zuko and the prince of, obviously, the goat, Korra. She's going to be doing it, too. Does it interest you to listen to a podcast with the voice actors talking about, like, different things about the entire Airbender series?
Now, are they going to be talking about the story itself or behind the scenes or lore? What's this about?
It sounds like a little bit of all of that. They're going to have like trivia and all sorts of stuff that they'll get little tidbits you might not know about the show and about behind the scenes stuff. So it seems like it's a good mix of all of that.
Ooh, yeah, definitely. I'll check it out. I listen to a lot of podcasts, a lot of audiobooks. I got a lot of free time. So, yeah, I'm definitely interested.
There we go.
I actually have been listening to the Warrior of Kyoshi audiobook. So, yeah, this is right down my alley.
Ooh, I didn't even know that was a thing. I have to check that on my Audible. Very nice. Very nice.
Oh, yeah. It comes free with your membership.
Nope. Even better. Even better. I got a lot of tokens sitting in there I got to use. Blizzard has reduced the cloning fee for Burning Crusade and Classic. It was $35. People were pissed. And now it's $15. Mike, is that something that you're going to use for Classic or not your thing?
Well, with my party, with our group, we got to around level 15, 14-ish. I think you need to be around like 57 or 47, one of those two, to be able to go through the portal to be able to start the Burning Crusade expansion. So I even if I wanted to, I can't. So gotcha. Probably not.
Gotcha. So no Burning Crusade expansion for the group. Konami is
not for a while.
Oh, yes. Yes, did somebody jump in? Did somebody get me? Oh,
no, I just said get good.
Oh, get good. Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah, I heard somebody go off too. I was like, oh, what are we talking about?
Say, oh, no. Oh, no, they're coming for me. Oh, no.
Oh, shit, it's Junior. He's mad. He's mad again.
He's mad. He's like, ah, curse it. I'm just going to hold.
Goddamn Blizzard wanting to make money. Do they think they're a company?
Make it free. Make it free. Just screaming at the sky. I get it. I get it. Konami's mobile games made almost $2 billion last fiscal year. That's because they have like that dual fates, bro. And that's definitely Star Wars music. That it's not the Yu-Gi-Oh mobile game. But y'all know what I'm talking about. The Yu-Gi-Oh game, the card game, they make a lot of money off of that and other games too from Konami. So it's pretty dope. This is GTA talk for Big Los. GTA 5 Next Gen arrives on PS5 and Xbox Series X/S November 11th. It's going to have technical improvements, visual upgrades, and performance enhancements. Will we see mods possibly? Could be. You know, Bethesda put a lot of their mods for Skyrim and stuff on the console, so maybe we do see mods for GTA on console as well. I'm not too sure. They're like, yeah, you know what? We're not even going to give you 6. Just go make your own. Don't worry about it. It's fine. Rockstar also promises, quote, more fun surprises for the 20th anniversary of GTA 3. The fact that GTA 3 turns 20 this year almost bothers me as much as on Tuesday after the sports show at the end where I said Shrek turned 20 years old. Both of those bother me very, very much. Very, very much.
I want to chime in real quick. The other thing about GTA 5 that somebody might want to know, Big Loaf, Panther, the Jeweled Panther, is available for the Cayo Perico heist. So that's an easy, almost $2 million that you could get for running that heist.
Proud of you, Junior. Look at that, Carlos. He's out here risking his health to give you GTA news.
GTA news.
What a hero. What an absolute hero. We'll look out for that. Quick, easy $2 million. With this GTA 3 stuff, some of it will be specific to GTA 5 online, just so you know. So, like, don't expect them to be like, here's GTA 3 remastered. That's not happening. It's not. I don't see that in Rockstar's future. But they might add a bunch of stuff to the online GTA 5 for that. Someone, was it Big Los? Who knows? Became the first player to beat GTA 5 without taking a single point of damage. That is ridiculous. That is so absolutely just silly, that speed run through it. Just absolutely silly.
I don't know if that's a speed run.
They called it a speed runner when I read the article. They called him a speed runner. But yes, it's absolutely insane. It makes sense.
Curious
zero
how
sense.
Much time it took. I'd be like interested to see like what was his finish time and it was a normal finish time and if it's the same time or if it's way exceeded, because I feel like if you're doing no points of damage, you kind of have to be more.
He did it in only 9 hours.
Okay. That's impressive.
Yes.
GTA.
I mean, people are always doing crazy shit in video games nowadays, so nothing surprises me anymore. I remember the first time I saw the Pokemon thing being played in Minecraft, and I was like, holy shit, nothing's going to get any better than this.
Yeah,
and now it's like everybody's doing some crazy shit. I was like, okay. I guess I'm just bad at video games.
It seems the main story is 31 right? hours average.
Yep, 31
hours.
You
did it in 9?
Yes, he did it in 9 and didn't take damage.
Yes.
But was anyone keeping track? Mike cursed a couple times there.
Yeah.
No, I fucking didn't.
Oh, my God, he did. That was a big one, Mike. Oh, my Lord.
What are we talking about?
I know you haven't been on, but we're still doing the St. Jude's Children, bro. So, like, we can't, like, drop big...
Ah, fuck, I forgot about that.
You're still doing it. Hold on. I'm just going to mute myself, dude.
I hate this.
All right, hold on, Dan. Just breathe, Dan. Hold on. We're going to get through it. Oh, my goodness. I thought that he said... I mean, Mike did drop a nice 50 burger on it, so I appreciate him for that.
I got some bad credit, dude.
All right.
I forget this.
I know you do. This is like Dan all over again when he is in a show we finish and he starts saying really ignorant stuff. And Dan's like, hey, we're still streaming. And then Mike jumps in, yeah, idiot, we're still streaming.
No wonder I was talking and like out of nowhere I saw BK's eyes light up. I was like, what's going on?
I was like I'm like, you know, because I'll be so we what we have found out
forget taking a pie. Mike needs to eat a bar of soap.
I'm gonna chip my other tooth with a bar of soap. Nobody told me these rules.
I can tell you this though, we have learned this because of David. You can say bitch because it's on TV. You can say that.
You could say damn too. That was one.
That's cool. Yeah. You can say damn.
You can say on basic TV, Mike.
Yeah.
Not your HBO.
So the one thing is, Mike, like there is no rules. Like the rules are inconsistent. Like that's also been a common
thing. No, I can say bitch. I can say
inconsistent. That's pretty standard.
This feels like bitch. Yeah, you can say bitch.
I can say what was the other one?
You can say damn.
Damn. Can I say cunt?
No.
Oh, shit.
I don't even know why you're testing that. I don't even know why you thought that was a test one. All right, let's move. You could use the see you next Tuesday. Like you could start saying that stuff. That's for those are innuendos. You do what you want on that. But let's move along here. My goodness.
What you call me?
Yep, there it is. Valorant Pro Sinatra has been suspended for 6 months for sexual assault allegations. We discussed this on a previous episode when we read the girl, she had his, I think she was a former girlfriend of his, and she had the Google Doc post where she went through and all the allegations, and we read it. We talked about, like, we were, you know, quick. It was good to see the Valorant team that he was on really quickly, like, to suspend him and be like, yo, until further, you're suspended indefinitely until everything's done. It looks like they went through their investigation. The competitive operations team, a committee within Valorant Esports responsible for enforcing policy regulations, said the suspension was a result of J1 quote failing to fully cooperate with the tournament operators investigation, and this transgression is in direct violation of rule 8.1 of the Valorant global competition policy. So he is in fact suspended for 6 months. There was at least two instances of Juan misrepresenting certain facts, making false statements, and failing to cooperate with the investigation, they said. So yeah, big old POS, you know what I'm saying? That's what he is. Big old piece of crap. Yeah, I said crap. That's fine. Yeah, piece of crap. That's where we're at. WoW character Chromie was officially revealed to be transgender. This comes from the new Folk and Fairy Tales of Azeroth book. From what I understood is that Chromie, for like a long time, like there was always kind of a thought within the Blizzard community, like the WoW community, that like either Chromie fell on some type, one of the spectrums of the LGBTQ plus community, and they officially in the book revealed Chromie to be transgender. So cool for World of Warcraft, making it, you know, another character, a character more inclusive. It's Chromie. The big thing with Chromie is one of the most popular NPC characters in the game. I believe, Junior, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Chromie is one of the first NPC characters that you get a quest from. Am I correct?
Nowadays, it all depends on what route you want to take. She was like one of the first NPCs when they started introducing this whole time walking thing at a global scale. But as far as her being, you know, transgender and things, like, okay, cool, I guess. I mean, I'm not trying to sound ignorant, but there's just so much lore and so much things going on that, like, for me, like, all right, whatever. You know, just let me play the game, I guess.
Yeah. There you go. is what it is. Like I said, cool for WoW to make it, to add another character in there and make it feel like there's more inclusive to everybody. That's dope. But yeah, I think a lot of people I saw like online were just kind of like, okay, cool, which was cool. I'd rather that be the reaction from a WoW community than like the opposite, which would be just them being really upset and like angry and like,
yeah,
that would be really bad. Then I'd be like, oh, yeah, y'all are really, it'd be like nasty, almost all the chill. Yeah, yeah, like they're gonna like,
yeah, the reaction is more like you said, it is what it is. It Chromie is a dragon. I didn't know dragons had genders, so it yeah, is
2021,
what it is.
You know.
Like, it would, yeah, make more, yeah, sense if she was non-binary, I guess. But
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They do,
yeah, you know, a Mew type of situation.
Yeah. Oh, so that's also a very good point. Very good point. Mass Effect Legendary Edition is the highest rated game of 2021 thus far. It's netted Junior 19 points in fantasy, bringing his total to 50. Junior out here with the best rated game so far, 2021. Good for you, sir. Fantastic.
I'm coming up on those points.
Yeah, Mike's just looking to break even. He's just looking to break
gotta
even.
Gotta make even, buddy.
Yeah. Tough.
Yeah, he might take the lead in the next two tournaments, maybe.
Maybe.
Mike's treating it like golf. That's what Mike's doing. He's treating it like golf, all right? He's,
yeah, the lower score
under
wins. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Isn't that the point of it?
Yeah, yeah, it's exactly, yeah, how it works.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, so, yeah. So I'm
you're like
way
the Tiger Woods of fantasy yeah, video games critic. This is what you are. You're like Tiger Woods, dude. Absolutely killing it. Summer Games Fest 2021, which you could pay attention to because there might be some game announcement you want to add to your team. Summer Games Fest 2021 is coming June 10th and will feature a dozen world premieres and announcements. The biggest thing about this, I like that they decided, with Jeff Keighley and company, decided to butt that right up against E3. Like, we're going to be right by it. And there's a lot of companies have already signed up for it. Activision and Blizzard and PlayStation and Xbox and Square Enix and a bunch of others. They're all a part of Summer Game Fest yet again, which is really cool. Really cool. One thing you might see at Summer's Game Fest is Starfield. Starfield, I don't understand, like, where it came from, that, like, it was going to come out this year. I was very much kind of, like,
on Twitter.
Oh, Jeff Grubb thought it was coming out this year. But Jeffy Grubbs, he'd be lying to people, bro. He's a great dude. He's awesome. He breaks a lot of scoops. But he also messes with people. And I think that's the big thing with Starfield. That's a game where I don't know. It's supposedly could be late 2022. Maybe we expect Bethesda this at the Xbox conference or something to announce it. But I think everybody's under the same camp of, like, just take your time and make a great game. Do that. Take your time. Make a great game. New Batman Superman animated series are coming to HBO Max. Batman the Caped Crusader and My Adventures with Superman. Those look really cool. That'll be fun to check out on HBO Max. Also, there's new Harry Potter shows announced as well. Not the live action one that they're working on, but they have like a retrospective special that's going to come out. And a quiz show. I'm going to be honest. A quiz show on Harry Potter sounds pretty cool. But if that's the case, I'm only taking David on my team. That's who I want. I feel very confident in David in a Harry Potter quiz show. I think he could rock it. Do you feel confident, David?
Ooh. I think I'd be. It depends. Depends on what the questions are. You know, sometimes they get in those type of scenarios. They'll be like, what was, like, this person's robe in, like, season 5? And it's like some back character. You know, something like random. Like, be like, I don't know.
In The Prisoner of Azkaban, which light in the room?
It's not on HBO no more. I can't watch it.
You said Prisoner of Azkaban?
I did. They're coming back in June, David, all of them on HBO Max.
Nice.
Yeah, currently they're on Peacock. Right now they're on Peacock, but they will all be coming back to HBO Max.
Yeah, Peacock definitely paid for that.
Well, it's... The Peacock thing's weird because, so usually Harry Potter is always showing a lot of the times on USA Network, which is NBC, which is owned, obviously, Peacock. But then, like, Warner Brothers actually has the rights. It's very, very confusing.
Yeah, so that's why I thought, well, like, HBO is kind of Warner Brothers, or is. So it's like, why'd you get rid of it? Because I used to watch Harry Potter all the time. That's why I watched all the episodes again when it was on HBO, and I'll do it again when it's back.
All those, was there like 8 movies? Is that it? 8? 7? 8?
Eight.
Oh, man.
One thing that is coming that you didn't mention is the Friends reunion special is also coming this month.
Yep. Will we do a Friends special review podcast? Is it going to happen?
No. I mean, I like Friends, but we don't need to do a review of that.
I like Friends as well.
I mean, I like it, but if you want to do a review of it, I mean,
I'm going
to
watch it. I was like, throwing it out there for people.
I'll do it with you. That's fine. I'm just
asking. Hold on.
Okay. He's fishing for content.
To see if we can do it. Listen.
Fishing.
I'm just fishing. I'm like Mike and RuneScape, bro. I'm just fishing. All the time.
Me and my wife, our go-to show at nighttime. We would put that on and just let it cycle through. And
Mr. Then David.
Netflix, I had to find another way to watch it.
Mr. David, the undead Black Bull. What position does Harry Potter play on his Quidditch team? Keeper, B, Seeker, C, Bludger, or D?
Don't tell me anymore. Seeker. So anyways.
Dang.
Wow. He is. Okay, he's on the team. He's drafted.
That's an easy one. That's he's got to find one of the hard ones. They're like, huh?
But, well, we start with the $20 questions.
What dragon did Harry have to fight in the Goblet of Fire?
I don't remember that.
Wormtail, come on, bro.
I don't remember names. When it comes to names.
Oh, I think I want BK on my team.
Yeah, BK, there you go. Oh, man. You know what? We're gonna get...
Colleen's read all the books, and she's way big on that. Oh, it's not Wormtail. I was way off.
Oh, damn it.
There goes my dance. damn it.
Wormtail's the nickname for the one friend that betrays them. I forget his name. It's Ron's
Rat. Hold on. I haven't even finished all the movies. Let's pipe it down. Let's chill it down.
Wormtail's the statute of limitations on this. Like, you've had years,
man. All right. We're moving on. This is a gaming podcast. We're moving on here. Nakatomi's Plaza from Die Hard and Rambo are coming to Warzone. Also, yippee-ki-yay, I can't say the rest, John McClane is coming too. So, if you want Rambo and John McClane in Warzone, jump up in it. Get it done. Do it. Do it now. That'd be pretty sweet, though. I'm not going to lie. Rambo would be pretty cool. That'd be pretty cool. Also, John McClane. It's the best Christmas movie maybe of all time.
Yes, sir.
I just got the Hong Chur in T2.
What?
What? Yeah, they brought back the hung jury with an old D1 gun.
Oh.
Sorry, thank you, jury. Was that the one with the firefly? We'll talk about this after the podcast.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Oh, it was a horntail, just for the record. It was a Hungarian horntail, so that was close.
Right. I like how you said wormtail and we just took it as correct.
Yeah,
right?
I jumped on that.
I was like, yep, he's on my team.
Yeah, I mean, you could have told me anything, and I would have believed you. 2K is working on a new NFL arcade game that's been delayed. The earliest you'll see it now is April 1st, 2022. We don't even know what it's going to be, but there it is. Take-Two plans to reveal a new Gearbox franchise in 2022 as well. Obviously, Gearbox, if you didn't know, famous for Borderlands series. What will the new IP be? I don't know. We'll find out. Maybe we get an announcement this summer at E3 or at Summers of Gaming. We don't know. Deep Silver is opening a new studio to work on the long-dormant Time Splitters franchise. Time Splitters last had a new game in 2005. I want to open this up here. Does anybody remember Time Splitters?
Yes.
Absolutely. Knew a couple people would. BK, are you excited for Time Splitters to come back?
Oh, yeah. I remember playing this on, like, the original on the PlayStation, then, like, on the GameCube there. This is one of those early shooters. I mean, this was out before Halo. This is you know, in the same vein of, like, you know, the Golden Eye era, just like a little bit after that, and like the original Perfect Dark. A fun game. Like, this would be really cool for them to come back and really see what they do. And Deep Silver's got a fairly good pedigree of putting out in depth just fun games.
Mike, are you excited for Time Splitters?
If it comes to the Game Pass, I'll try it, I guess. It was just a game that came and went. It wasn't nothing groundbreaking that I can remember, like, you know, something fucking sweet. Like Turok. I remember Turok, and that wasn't that great. I'm trying to keep the conversation going because I cursed, but,
yeah, I see that. Go ahead. Yeah, Turok.
Serious Sam?
Oh, yeah, Serious Sam.
But Time Splitters, it's like, I guess I'll play it, but I'm not gonna look forward to it. Like, oh my god, I can't wait for it to come out.
Carlos is here. Big Los, you missed the GTA segment, so you have to watch that on podcast. Listen to that on podcast. Sorry, buddy. Reporting from the slums.
Womp, womp.
My boy up there. My boy. EA is opening a new studio in Seattle focusing on AAA open world experiences, headed by Kevin Stevens, the former VP of Monolith Studios, which is famous for their Shadow of Mordor games. That's pretty dope. I mean, it's EA, so I feel very paused back about it, but still dope. Still dope. I'd rather them open a studio than like just, you know, take one over. Maybe that's better. I don't know.
It depends if they just let them do their own thing. So we'll see.
You're like, it has to be a games as a service. It has to be.
And like, I just feel like it's going to be that way. Like, even though it's like open world, they're just going to have like, oh yeah, I'll play this area. You're going to have to give us a contribution for like 12 months. You're going to have to sign like a year subscription. And you're just going to be like,
gross, deuces, I'm out.
EA's like Activision. Just keep your grubby little hands off of my games, man.
David, do you feel... David, have you played the Shadow of Mordor games?
No. Yeah, no? Yeah, I've played one of them.
Okay.
I don't think I completed or finished the whole game, though.
Do you have, like, hope in EA opening another studio to focus on open-world AAA games, or is it, like, kind of like in the same vein of, like, eh?
It's hard to say because they're hit or miss. They've been a lot of miss. So
it's true.
Like a lot of miss. So it's hard to really say what they could do. I'm going to say no because they're horrible at that type of stuff. But we'll still try it out. I mean,
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah, see what it is, obviously. But I do. I think I'm also in that corner of like, yeah, this might not be great. It's like you set your expectations low. You know what I'm saying? Just set them nice and low, and then hopefully you don't get disappointed. That's the big point of it. I mentioned Starfield, but now this one. See, this is interesting here because we were on this kick. Was it last week we talked about loot boxes and all that again, and like paywalls in video games? I think it was, right? Okay, so this is going to be really cool because we talked very specifically about what Nintendo does and how we're like, like it's cool because it's Nintendo, but now this was a little bit different. So the Zelda Skyward Sword remake for the Switch is coming out later this year, and it has an amiibo. Now amiibos, the little figures you see, right, the little Nintendo ones, those are usually $15. This one gets a $10 bump. It's $25. Oh, if you're watching right there, BK's got some. It's $25 compared to $15, and this one exclusively unlocks fast travel in the game. The game and the amiibo both release on July 16th. So the perfect question here, and I want to start with BK. How do you feel?
Still going?
Oh yeah.
What do you have?
He's got a lot. Is this like pops?
You're better off
for
you? Just taking the webcam off.
I have all the Fire Emblem ones except for like the Byleth that like just came out. I haven't gotten him yet.
You got Roy?
So I have. Yeah, bro. He's hold on. Here's Ike. Hold on.
He's getting there. He's getting there. Hold on, Roy.
I already had Roy, but there's. Here's Roy again. Here you go.
Oh, Roy's our boy. Roy's our boy. Yeah. I do love Roy. So,
yeah. I got all, like I said, I got them all except for Byleth just because that's my favorite Nintendo franchise. And I wanted the extras in the games. In those games specifically. But in terms of this absolute chicanery, this joke of this amiibo nonsense, first of all, like making the amiibo more expensive, that's kind of BS.
It's ignorant.
I understand it's two figures in one because there's like two like the two characters technically, but they didn't do that for the Duck Hunt dog because it's a dog with the bird, and they didn't do that for Banjo Kazooie amiibo either. So that's kind of boop. That you know that's a curse word there, and then locking fast travel behind that amiibo, that's really messed up. I understand the first game like the original didn't have fast travel. But it's really dirty. It does not feel good. It feels really grimy. So I really hope people don't buy that or the amiibo either. Just like you vote with your wallet and tell Nintendo that this is not okay. This is really disgusting.
I hope that it still reviews well because that's on my my team. David, how do you feel about Nintendo putting a paywall here with this amiibo to unlock fast travel? Although, yes, BK is correct that it wasn't in the original game.
I mean, it kind of hits on what we talked about last week, almost spot on. Like, hey, it's cool if it's like cosmetic, but if it's something that's going to make you help in the game, then shouldn't be there, so it's kind of like a paywall. But this is more of like a PvE though, so I guess it's kind of okay, but it sounds like something that should already be in the game.
Yeah, obviously they put it in there because of the amiibo.
Be like a, this should be like a quest type thing to unlock your fast travel, you know, instead of having to buy something. Yeah. Now everything's switched to you got to buy it, as opposed to, I don't know, grinding, like, I don't know, like in a Destiny world, like you have to beat this boss like 1800 times and maybe you'll get the loot drop.
Yeah, that grind you want. Your games like an adult.
Yeah. That's how it should, it actually should be like that. So if you get something like that, you have to grind when the, you know, I don't know. And at least instead of having to, yeah, but if you give it the option to buy it, everyone's gonna be like, you know what, after the fifth try, they'll be like, no, I'm just gonna buy it.
Yeah. That's a good point.
But at least that gives the option for some people to still get it without paying. So
yeah, in case, you know, I mean, this is, you know, I'm not to be, you know, bringing it down, but we're still in a pandemic, right? And Nintendo to be like, well, here's this $25 paywall to unlock this feature in the game. It's like, well, that it just doesn't, it seems like poor taste. Honestly, it really does. Mike, your thoughts here on Nintendo putting a paywall up to get fast travel in Skyward Sword?
It was funny that you guys said, like, about Nintendo, that we allow it because it's Nintendo, they can do no wrong.
Yeah.
This doesn't feel like a Nintendo move. It feels more like an Activision move, like a Blizzard move. Like, you have to buy this if you want this. If it's for the amiibo itself, I mean, unless you're like a total collector, I guess that's fine. But to hide the or put the fast travel behind it, that's the bleep part. Yeah, I see. I got you. if they were to get,
realize he's using up his $50 already.
Oh, I'm dead. I'm in debt up to my balls right now. So if they were to get rid of that and give fast travel to everybody else and be like, you know, just the amiibo itself is still 25, but we took down that requirement for fast travel for everybody, that'd be okay with me. But the putting it behind the paywall, that's the scummy part. That's the part that doesn't feel like Nintendo.
Junior, if you want, I'm giving you the option because I know you're very passionate about it last week. Do you have your thoughts here now on Nintendo putting that paywall up with that amiibo to get fast travel in Skyward Sword Remake?
I'm like on the fence about it because, like, I agree with what BK, Mike, and David are saying, you know, that it's kind of a, you know, bad, you know, thing that they're hiding a feature that should have been game already behind a paywall, essentially. But at the same time, you know, David made a point where it's more PvE. It's not really, you know, a game-breaking thing. If it was like an MMO, you know, online game where you had PvP involved, then, you know, it could potentially, you know, affect it in that manner. But there's more of a feature of, like, if you want fast travel, you know, you know, buy this. If not, don't. You know, especially with people who have been playing the game for like who knows how many hours and are probably used to not having fast travel, they probably not going to want it in the first place. But to BK's point, you know, vote with your wallet. That's like a good, like, I guess, like honorable thing to do. But I mean, we all as gamers know we are very, very motivated by game features that make the game easier. So we suck at voting with our wallets.
I was about to counterpoint you too.
Yeah. Especially with, you know, cosmetics and stuff. Like, ooh, that looks like really cool, you know, for my, you know, player, or that looks like a really cool skin for my gun.
Bought a ton of Overwatch loot boxes already.
Or buying $120 worth of loot boxes just to get one intro scene, you know? Like, yeah.
It happens, we'll, dude.
Yeah, as gamers, we're weak when it comes to voting with our wallets.
Oh, yeah. You give me, like, a skin on a character that looks super cool all day. Like, am I potentially going to spend money on Fortnite because I want the Raven skin so bad? There's a possibility. There's a possibility.
I'm not going to lie. I saw that. I was like, ooh, I don't play Fortnite, but bleep, bleep.
It's Raven.
Let's see. Like the skin is like one thing where it's like look, make your character like look cool, but it's like, it's a quality of like life improvement.
Yes.
And like, and I think I really like Mike's point of saying like, oh, hey, like, if you like unlocked it somehow, like, oh, like you beat the game and then like you have it, which would still actually be kind of scummy. That's just like the part that just doesn't feel right.
No, I agree.
Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah,
that was a good counterpoint.
My counterpoint was going to be Junior. Imagine playing Skyrim, but you can't fast travel anywhere. You have to ride from town to town, from city to city. The game's great. Me and you both love that game. Me and you have put hundreds of hours in that game. If you take away fast travel, no matter how great that game is, it's going to get really old really fast. And then if Bethesda was to put fast travel behind a wall, I would have to break down and buy it. And that's the scummy part.
Oh yeah, I mean, like I said, I agree. You know, it just depends on what kind of player you are. You know, like, there's some people that prefer not having fast travel in their games, and then there's others that do. And like I said, you know, I'm one of the weaker gamers where it's like, okay, you're gonna give me fast travel if I pay $20. You know what? Screw it. Give me fast travel.
Oh, you know? Bleep yeah.
You know, it's gonna make the game a lot easier. You know, or not. I shouldn't say like gameplay wise easier, but it's gonna make movement easier around the world. Because Skyrim, as a world, is pretty big. There's no way you're gonna go from Riften all the way out to that other cult city in the far north east side or northwest side.
You know, from Ironforge all the way down to Stormwind through the Burning Steps.
Yep. Without actually flying, just running there the whole time.
That'd be awful.
Or without taking a train. Yep.
That sounds like a terrible.
I couldn't imagine somebody that would do that.
That's awful. That's terrible. But yeah, I think everybody kind of made that point where it's like, it's a really crappy thing for Nintendo to do, because to Mike's point, like last week we defend Nintendo until we're blue in the face, because it's like, it's okay, because it's Nintendo. Like, we just give them passes, whereas this feels very different than a typical Nintendo move. Like Mike said, it feels really, you know, Blizzard-y. So I'm not really a big fan of that at all. And we'll see. Like I said, I hope it doesn't affect reviews. I got it on the team, but like, it's not good. It's not a good look. Not a good look at all. Let's see. Mike, have you missed Samus?
Have I missed her?
Yeah. Do you miss Samus? Do you miss Metroid?
Prime? Or are we talking about Smash? Because I can play Smash right now.
Well, I guess
maybe. Yes, I have. Oh my god, I missed her so bad.
Okay, well, you can get her, Mike. Possibly. In Fortnite.
Oh, tell me how.
She may be coming to Fortnite. There's an ongoing Batman and Fortnite comic crossover that we talked about a few weeks ago, and it shows the shape of a figure on one of the panels. And I'm not going to lie, when I saw the panel, it does look exactly like Samus in the suit. Like, I was like, oh my god, is this really going to happen? We talked about, or I think I at least brought it up when Master Chief got announced, Kratos got announced, and I was like, well, there has to be a Nintendo character at some point. And Samus was one of the options, and it looks like during the Apple versus Epic trial, Samus was on one of the leaked documents about being a potential character to be added to the game at some point, as well as Naruto skins. And I will tell you what, dude, if Epic brings out Naruto skins, I'm gonna lose my whole paycheck, bro. I'm gonna lose my whole paycheck. That's Naruto, bro.
I don't play Fortnite, but god mother bleep and bleep, they know how to do cool bleep.
They sure do. They sure do know how to do cool stuff. That is true.
What if they introduced like some of the hand motions? You pick those up instead of like weapons.
I was just gonna say it's like one of the emotes, like they're doing a fireball jutsu, cool too. Or like shadow clone jutsu, you know, is one of them.
You know where that would be really cool to do on the game Spellbreaker?
You're gonna pick up all the different spells,
you know, picking up scrolls.
You're doing fireball jutsu.
Yep.
Out here doing Chidori. Oh man, oh wow. See, yeah, Epic. Don't do that. Don't do that. I don't wanna lose my paycheck, bro. I don't wanna do it. But I will, because I love Naruto somewhere. That's Lord Seventh, bro. I can't.
I'm like, hey, say Jude, I'm gonna need all those $50 back.
Oh man, but yeah, you might see Samus coming to Fortnite in the near future. Liza P, officially announced by Round 8 Studios and Neowiz. It's a soul-like action RPG game with Pinocchio twist. It's coming to PC, Xbox, and PS5. BK, I think you're the one that put this in here, so what did you think of it?
It definitely looks dark and gritty, and so like if you're a Souls fan or Bloodborne fan, You'll probably like this, and You see Pinocchio kind of like at the end, and he's got like a metal arm and everything. You don't see his like face. And apparently, as you're like progressing through the game, like you're constantly upgrading, and customizing like Pinocchio. So I don't know if that like arm gets crazier, or like you have like a giant nose that's like a sword or something. I don't know. Like, but it seems like this is an interesting idea. I think it's a really, it's definitely a cool idea, and it's brand new IP. This is kind of what we all want. You know, this isn't like a retread or like a sequel. This is brand new IP. So
it's always good to see too. Always good to see new IPs out there. Google is opening their first retail store in New York City this summer. Will it do like everything else Google does, where like it's out for a while and then it sucks and they just give up on it? I don't know. I mean, Google does have a lot of things they can start selling, right? They have like the Nest and the Google Home and the Pixel phones, and like they have their own cell phone service, and you know.
So. Stadia.
Yeah. Will they sell Stadia in that store? Will Stadia still be around?
When's it opening? What did I say?
They said like this summer, so they didn't say when in the summer.
Yeah, it'll be around.
What if they just bundle it with whatever you buy? You bought a phone, here's a free Stadia.
For free, okay?
Stadia, that's what I'm saying.
They were getting it. People with Google accounts were able to claim it. I got it. Literally, let me just break this down real quick about Google, okay? So I've never had a Google Chromecast, and I was like, well, let me see. Awful. It's literally so stupid. No wonder the Fire Stick sells better. The Fire Stick is way better. Like, the Google Chromecast, when it's on my TV, it just plays, like, some, you know, cool little, like, my PC backgrounds, like, nature and stuff, which is fine. But then, like, I have to use my phone then to be as the remote, and there's no UI. There's no UI whatsoever. It's just whatever apps you have on your phone, you just, like, I'm going to play Hulu, and then it plays it on your Chromecast. That seems kind of weird to me. I'm not a big fan of it. Where there's the Fire Stick, obviously, there's a whole UI system, and, you know. It's awful. Stadia sucks. It's not good. Sorry. It's so funny. I'm on the Stadia Reddit, and I just love going through, and everybody's like, oh my God, this is so great. I'm so glad I get to play games with my friends, and I didn't have to buy them. And I'm like, dude, you guys are the minority here in this. This is not, Stadia is no point.
They're paid.
I guess. I wish Google throw me some money, bro. I feel like I should have been paid for it, even though that was free. I should have been paid to try that, because that was... not fun.
Pay me for the inconvenience. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like I mean, I like the controller. The controller is super cool. It's very comfortable. I like that. But man, Stadia sucks. Sorry.
Quote of the day: Stadia sucks.
There
by
it is.
Ryan.
Quote of the day. There you go. Today is Global Accessibility Awareness Day, and Xbox announced a ton of new features that they're working on. For it, they worked with Steve Saylor, who is the Blind Gamer. If you've never followed him, he's also on Twitch, and he does a lot of cool stuff with the community. I know he's been working with Xbox a lot. They announced Xbox Accessibility, announced a new program called Xbox Accessibility Insider League, or XAIL. This program is available to anyone with disability and allows them to give accessibility feedback directly to both the Xbox engineering team as well as the game developers. The Xbox customer support page has been refreshed as well, making it easier to find the disability answer desk than before. Other incentives or initiatives include a gaming and disability player experience guide, which gives game developers tools and areas to consider while designing their games. Accessibility guidelines have been updated, as well as with more guidance on things like screen narration, difficulty UI, and captions. In the future, there will also be party chat options for both speech-to-text conversations as well as text-to-speech. So that's really cool with them working on that. I know this also says Microsoft's first-party games are getting more accessibility features, including Gears 5 navigation ping. That's going to let players with little or no vision make their way through areas using audio cues. And there's also options to disable camera shake or enable lock. The achievement screen for Minecraft has been redesigned, making it easier to navigate and read, or have narrated, as well as offering granular audio controls. So all in all, that's really great that Xbox is going out there and doing way more for accessibility. I know they had that controller that has like that's easier for people to use with the disabilities, which is awesome as well. So that's good. It's good on Xbox there for doing all that. I think Apple announced a bunch of stuff today too. And with like being able to do stuff with like your talk to text and more things that are like now you'll be able to in the near future. Like currently, if you use like your phone, your iPhone, to like explain like a photo to you, it can tell you like certain things like captions on it, but soon it will be able to actually tell you more detail about the photo, which is actually really cool. So there you go. Xbox companies doing more for accessibility is always awesome. Also, when it comes to accessibility, I want to give a shout out though to Josh. Follow him on Twitter at OnTapJosh, because he has a YouTube channel where he talked a lot more about like some of the questions he gets all the times and functionality and accessibility with him being blind. So go ahead and check him out. Like I said, on Twitter at OnTapJosh, and find his YouTube link there, and make sure you give him a sub on YouTube as well. Microsoft, it's a sad day, boys. Microsoft is officially killing Internet Explorer in 2022. Raise your hand if you still use Internet Explorer. Do you really use it, David? Are you serious?
Only to download the new web browser.
I like how he raised his hand. Yeah. And it took him like 2 minutes. So the delay was spot on. Internet Explorer.
It sure was. LOL. Junior's like raising his hand, but he's like, no one can see me, so it's fine. I can't get made fun of.
The exact same reason David has. The only time I use it is to download Chrome.
Yeah, that's right.
It's okay.
That's right.
It'll take Internet Explorer like 2 years to realize it's dead.
What is their other thing?
Microsoft Edge.
Yeah. I use Edge. It's actually pretty nice. Yeah. I like Edge.
There's Firefox.
Chrome.
Chrome.
Edge just came out for us at work because I usually use Chrome, but now we can use Edge. They're like rolling it out on our computers. And like Edge is nice. That's fine. Edge is all right. But I prefer Google Chrome, but it's a little bit easier, but yeah. It's fine. So yeah, good point, Mike. Internet Explorer, we'll find out in a couple of years that it's officially done. Oh, right up Mike's alley here. Capcom is holding a Monster Hunter Rise and Stories 2 event May 26th. So Mike, I won't be here, but I plan on you watching it and having a notes taken for it, okay?
Yes, points, hopefully.
Oh, hopefully, dude, hopefully. And
I need them.
It is a coincidence, Mike. That is a Wednesday. So that is the day before the gaming show. So if you are off on the 27th, I expect you to be on here. I won't be here, but I expect you to be on here with them giving your thoughts on what they show. That's your homework. So.
Ooh, bet.
There it is. I'll remind you as the days go, because I know you will forget. So
I will.
Yep, 100%. Before we get into the last part of the show here, Avengers versus X-Men reportedly in development. Using the Injustice 2 engine, and it's being developed by NetherRealm. Let me tell you, when I saw this, it had me feeling things, okay? And, you know what I'm saying. I was feeling some things. BK, how does it get you feel that you could be getting Avengers versus X-Men from the same studio that makes Injustice and Mortal Kombat?
Makes me feel like I want to play with the Avengers and take a giant dump on the X-Men. That's what it makes me feel like. Because that's what I'm gonna do, and it's gonna make me feel great. I've always been super tempted to buy the new Mortal Kombat game, especially after watching the movie a couple times. I'm like, man, yeah, like I just want to play through like the story. I missed the sale, so I'm gonna kind of try to wait for like another sale so I can get the Ultimate Edition, get all the characters and stuff. But NetherRealm's got a great pedigree. The Injustice games were like a lot of fun, so this is really exciting. This is awesome. I'll probably buy day one. I'll try not to, and they'll probably have like some cool collectible statue, and I'm like, well, yeah, sure, here's $120. Yeah, just take it. Yeah, cool.
You can have it. David, how do you feel about Avengers versus X-Men being developed by NetherRealm?
I mean, sounds cool. Sounds good. I haven't bought a fighting game like that in a very long time, and if I was going to, I would do exactly what BK said. I'm gonna buy Mortal Kombat. I'm not gonna buy Avengers versus X-Men. But I mean, that's cool for the people that enjoy those games. I'm sure they'll like it and play it for a bit. Now, just because it's developed by them, it'll probably be good then. Hopefully, I would assume so, right? Because it's basically same type of scenario. Just got to do different, you know, skins and character. That's all it is, really, because it's the same background, same coding, at least from the most part. If you're doing it, they're well prepared of what they need to do, so it should be a great game. All they need to do is basically cosmetic stuff and change moves, and that's basically all they need to do.
It might be better than Marvel's Avengers, so like that's pretty cool.
It's not, I mean, it's probably not a, will be. Not a big competition on that.
It can get be worse.
Oh, well, I don't know, it could always be worse.
I would go worse.
Junior, we know Junior is a big Mortal Kombat fan, right? We heard him on the Mortal Kombat review show, which you can go check out on your backlog or the Damnation pods. Junior, your thoughts here on NetherRealm possibly working on an X-Men versus Avengers game?
That was pretty cool. Like BK said, you know, when you're playing more of the Mortal Kombat side, or just give me Mortal Kombat, you know, 12, 13, whatever we're on. If anything, if Capcom's going to be coming out with something like that, I'd like to have like a remake of Street Fighter vs. X-Men instead. I remember playing that at the arcades and playing that in the movie theater so many times. I would want that more than Avengers vs. X-Men or whatever it is.
It's a good point. It's a good point. Mike, how about you?
Ooh, yeah, this is great. The Injustice games are great. X-Men versus Street Fighter is also great. So, I can't wait for this. I would agree with BK, though. I would probably pick Avengers. So,
man.
Yeah.
Okay, when you're taking a dump, I'm just going to have Wolverine just go boom right up your... Dude.
But you lose Iron Man then.
I don't want Iron Man.
Dun, 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 Mortal Kombat. Yeah, okay. Question. You get to get two versus a franchise from them. What two franchises or show are you picking to fight against each other in a game that you're producing? Go ahead. Ryan.
Oh, you want me to go first? Wow. Okay. I was still processing because I was reading the chat at the same time. First, real quick, Frank asked, do we prefer Chrome or Firefox, each of us? I prefer Chrome. I think that we kind of all kind of answered that there.
Chrome over Firefox, but Edge over Chrome for me.
Oh. Now, Mike, to your question, two franchises that I would like to see fight against each other in a fighting game. Okay. My funny one is The Office versus Friends.
Or just two group of characters in general, like anime or whatever.
Okay, well, the first one, the funny one, is Office versus Friends.
Okay. Ooh, Office.
The next one that I want, well, I don't know. I mean, that's a tough one, dude. I think Dwight's bringing the heat. But I think my other one that I would really want to see, Naruto versus, it's either Seven Deadly Sins, or
ooh, that's good.
Naruto versus I just had it in my head too and I lost it.
Konosuba! No, I'm just saying.
Yeah, right. Konosuba! also another one that didn't involve Naruto, because Naruto would get wiped really quick now that this other franchise isn't, but Dragon Ball Z versus Sailor Moon, because I want everyone to understand that Sailor Moon is going to wipe the DBZ universe, like absolutely wipe them.
He solos?
Yeah, dude. In the name of the moon. but yeah, I guess definitely Naruto versus Seven Deadly Sins. I think that would be so cool. I think that would be dope.
Oh, yeah.
BK, do you have one?
I do. I'll also go anime.
Oh. I'll go
Bleach versus Demon Slayer. They both have, like, swords. It would work. It'd make a lot of sense.
Ooh, I'm going to go with Bleach on this one.
Ooh.
I think I'm going to go with Bleach.
I was thinking Bleach was like DBZ.
Oh, my goodness.
I would pick Bleach over DBZ. Like, that's not even
same, a question. Same. Just for when I get asked, can you beat Goku? Yeah, I proved it.
Ichigo cannot. Ichigo cannot. This isn't Weebisodes, and I'm not doing this, but Ichigo cannot. Ichigo is getting wiped by Goku. My goodness.
At least Ichigo is a good person. It's just not like, yeah, let's just sacrifice worlds like to the death just because I wanted to see like if I'm the strongest person in the world. Low-key supervillain. Goku supervillain.
I am so upset. Junior, you said Bleach as well versus DBZ. That's pretty dope. David, do you have two franchises you would pit against each other?
Can't think. I mean, first one would obviously be like My Hero, which you already have kind of that game, though. You already have a fighting game, but I would go with them versus, I don't know, someone. You guys would probably be the best to figure out who that second one would be, though.
I mean, like, yeah, My Hero would be cool matched up against a lot of different animes, whether it be like Hunter x Hunter.
Matched up against Invincible.
Oh, yeah, because then you get All Might versus Omni-Man. What a great fight. What an absolutely fantastic fight.
If All Might doesn't win that, I'm leaving.
He's like, I'm done.
Burn the game.
I'm done. I'm over it.
Now, and if you're sitting there thinking, man, what's Invincible? Dial the podcast feeds back. Check out the one from yesterday. We reviewed Invincible. It's fantastic. Big Los is on there.
Big Los. Yeah, My Hero would be really good against, like, whether it be like Naruto or Bleach or Hunter, like any Dragon Ball Z, even like I would, whatever, we could do it. It'll be fine. Like Krillin versus Deku, it's gonna be great. But another one too that no one said, because it's like a layup, but like Avengers versus Mortal Kombat, like, or Marvel versus Mortal Kombat. Let's do that.
Yeah,
give me it all. Like Day Wolverine one versus Scorpion, man, that's cool. That's a cool fight. It was a really cool fight. Deadpool versus Johnny Cage. Oh yeah, Iceman versus Sub Zero. Those were very good. Storm versus I don't know.
It's Raiden. Storm versus Raiden.
Oh yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. Kung Lao versus Black Panther. Like, let's do it. Let's do it. Man, those are great. Now the last part of the bit of the show here, we're gonna talk about the merger between AT&T and with Discovery Plus. It took place last week, or like earlier in the week. It's $43 billion deal that was made to do this. There's gonna have a ton of content coming together. The official name will be announced sometime soon. They haven't done it yet. The new company will reach a revenue of $53 billion by 2023, said AT&T. This new company is going to invest $20 billion a year in content. That is just a lot. What this may mean for Netflix, as yet as another big hitter enters the streaming world. I'll start with that. BK, what do you think this means possibly for Netflix?
Oh, like, it has me worried that just Netflix is... I just don't know if they have the money to compete with all these tech giants, essentially, or these, like, you know, big production companies teaming up together to really throw their weight behind streaming services, because I really like Netflix. It's the OG. It's the original gangster of the streaming service. It's the one that popularized it, made it easy. And props to Netflix for seeing the writing on the wall earlier. Like, all right, we're gonna have to get our own content. Like, this is gonna get harder and more expensive. And so they were very smart by starting investing that years ago with originally House of Cards and Orange is the New Black. I almost can see them being merging or getting bought out by someone like a Google, if they want to step up into the service, like add them onto like YouTube TV, whatever. Apple has tons of money and they're investing a lot into Apple TV Plus. What if they just want to bulk that up and get Netflix? It makes me scared just because I want to see Netflix like hang around, and I don't necessarily want to see them get bought out, but it just seems like how everything's going, and it is kind of sad that a lot of the content we all consume, it just seems like it's owned by like four or five companies now, instead of it just being all like over the place. It's scary that antitrust law, you know, just doesn't exist in the US anymore. So I don't know, maybe in a decade, everything will only be owned by like two people, and then the government will finally get up off its butt and break all this up.
David, your thoughts here on what this could mean for Netflix?
I think Netflix would probably get bought, right? Probably what's gonna happen. They'll still stick around. They're still doing well. I think they still report massive income numbers, right, to keep up with their shows. I'm sure BK can look that up, because he's probably doing it right now, so he can give me the numbers for that. But I think they're still doing relatively good enough to where if they'd even sell Netflix, it's gonna be in the billions for that contract for them, because they are, when someone refers, go ahead, BK. I read your mouth. Oh my god, it's a lot, probably. So go ahead.
Netflix reported revenue $7.2 billion for the first quarter of 2021.
So that's just in the first quarter. All right. Yeah. So there you go. That's what projected, maybe $30 billion
around,
give
there.
Or take.
Yeah.
So that's not bad, right? So they're like, in their minds, they're like, do we really need to sell? Do we need to go anywhere else? We're making all this money. And then obviously they're flooding that back into their shows. One of my shows to kind of go off BK is Ozark, which is, I think, their final season's coming out. Great show. There's always some great Netflix shows. And then the one we talked about earlier, Jupiter Legacy, is also a Netflix show. So, you know, they're coming out with their own stuff. It's always nice. But like, another player that could potentially buy it, and like we said, it's the main giants, right? And it's like an Amazon could do that. I don't really care for the Amazon Prime TV stuff. Their UI is not that nice. It's okay, but some of the stuff is you have to buy it and rent it, and some of it's free, and it's a hassle, right? But I still make it work just because I have Amazon Prime, so I might as well use it, right? I'm already paying for it, so I kind of get it. Yeah, you're looking at some of the bigger giants. Definitely an Apple comes into play because Apple Plus is garbage. If anyone's ever used it, there's literally like nothing on it, and they charge so much money for it. Like, you're charging for a streaming service, but there's literally nothing on it. It's like, and the only reason why I had it is because when I got my new iPhone, they gave it to me for like 6 months, like a free subscription. So I jumped into it to test it out. I was like, all right, cool, it's free, let's see what they have. Literally, it was like nothing, and I was like, this is it. So I was like, all right, I thought that was a letdown. So that's why they're probably the Prime one, because they don't really have anything, right? Whereas the Google has a YouTube, Amazon already has their Amazon Prime, you know, they already have their stuff working, whereas Apple's is non-existent, and they're probably the biggest company. The only other company I could think of is probably a Universal Studio, Comcast own, jumping in, and that they're the, when we're talking big giants, that's one of the big ones right there. But they probably already own something that I don't even know.
Well, Comcast, because they definitely so is much. Part of a Peacock for sure, because they're with NBC. Yeah. So there's that.
So they already have that. So then they're good there. And if they want to expand that, then maybe that's where their Netflix part would come in if they were to buy it.
Or Amazon. But Amazon's huge.
Yeah. Amazon is definitely huge. So all these people are huge. But like we already, you've part of the numbers. Netflix doesn't need to sell. They're still doing good. I would still say they're probably number one. In a streaming perspective, I mean, I'm sure we could look up some reports on who made the most in revenue per just streaming only. Maybe kind of hard because all these assets are owned by other companies and their revenues is so high, because like everything else, like AT&T buying Discovery is going to be huge. Now, what would be nice, because I have AT&T internet, I wonder if I get it for free. You know, that's what I like.
You should be getting HBO Max for free.
I do get HBO Max for free. And we already have, I think me and you have it already, because we have Verizon and we got the year.
Yeah, Discovery Plus.
Sure do. Discovery Plus. It's fantastic. 1 year. So I know that's going to go away because AT&T bought it. So it's not going to be like, Verizon's going to be like, yeah, we're going to back out of this. So, I mean, it'd be nice. So we'll see. But I think Netflix is still fine for the time being.
Over 200 million active streaming subscribers, like account, like paid accounts.
Nice. Yeah, don't share your
next
accounts.
Next closest is Prime at 150 million.
It's terrible to share your accounts. Don't do that.
They're cracking. The article I just read was like saying like they're testing technology right now to crack down on the sharing accounts, like in the streams and stuff. So
leave me alone, man. Y'all keep raising your prices. Leave me alone. Just leave me be, man. Mike, your thoughts here on Netflix? What this means now that HBO Max and Discovery Plus Net are going to start to combine together? What do you see with Netflix?
I mean, they're doing well right now, but will they keep that up when there's bigger fish in the around? I don't know. They might end up selling sooner or later. For me, it don't matter. I'll just go with whoever has the shows that I'm watching, which is mostly just anime. So
sorry,
bleep them.
I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm going to be here. I'm going to be fine.
We talk about Netflix a lot on Weebisodes, right? We really do, because the anime, they've pushed their anime department very, very hard, and getting more rights to stuff and things like that. So that's really cool. Netflix is doing a really good job of that. I think eventually Netflix will get bought, like at some point, by some big player, but it's not, I don't see it anytime soon. What I am hopeful for here is, though, that now when my Discovery Plus does run out, that my HBO Max and my Discovery Plus together, I get one nice price, you know, like 15 a month or whatever for both. And I'll feel great.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, because HBO Max needs more stuff. And this is a way to pull in all those Discovery, because all Discovery Plus is basically like TV shows that they play. Man. That's all I've seen.
I watch Guy's Grocery Games so much.
HBO, they bring so much factor over there that it would make HBO Max just so much better. So, I mean, it's already good now, and it's just going to get better. So after there's going to be only one app, and it's definitely going to be the HBO. I think Discovery Plus will just disappear. I don't think it'll exist anymore, even though it's new.
And it has a nice UI. It really does. And yeah. I mean, HBO Max is fine, too. But Discovery Plus does have a nice UI. I'm currently going through our chat, BK, to see if I have the picture of everything that it means. Because I'm pretty sure. Okay, it's right here. I found it. Okay. So this is the $43 billion deal. So it's going to combined. AT&T is actually receiving the $43 billion because they're selling off HBO Max. That's actually where this is going down. Okay. So what this is going to be is you would combine Discovery, Food Channel, HDTV, Rooster Teeth, Warner Brothers, HBO, CNN, Turner Sports, Cinemax, HLN, Cartoon Network, Animal Planet, Sci-Fi, TLC, Mangolia Network. I don't know what that is. Mangolia. ID.
Magnolia.
Yeah, Magnolia. That's it. TVN, Eurosports, TBS, TNT, Adult Swim, and DC. So there is going to be a lot on this one service, whatever it is. It's getting a new name, remember? So basically, I'm just assuming my HBO Max and my Discovery Plus are going to be gone under a new name. And that's so confusing. My goodness, it's going to be so much. You know, you might be asking, like, is there any gaming news a part of this, Ryan? This is a gaming podcast. Well, I'll give you some gaming news. It will impact Warner Brothers Gaming Studios as well because they're going to be, quote, broken up, whatever that means. Now, that could mean, BK and I were talking about this, they could take the Disney approach, where Disney has a lot of different IPs, and they just split them up. They have the rights to those IPs, like Marvel and Star Wars and all these things, but they split it up, and they let other companies do it. Like we just mentioned, NetherRealm could be designing a Avengers versus X-Men. Marvel's Avengers is from Square Enix, Crystal Dynamic. Marvel Ultimate Alliance was a Nintendo exclusive from one of their studios. Star Wars with Respawn and EA, and like, it goes all over the place. Some franchises affected by this would be Harry Potter, DC games, Mortal Kombat, among others. Some of the gaming will stay with AT&T and some will go to the new company. So don't know what that means. We don't know. We're just kind of up in the air with it.
I feel bad for those employees and the games they're working on, just because like you've worked hard on those projects, and you don't know if they're going to fully carry over or not. They could just bite the dust. And when you referenced earlier with the whole Disney thing, I really liked Disney Infinity. I have all those figures. I have all of them. I have all the games. It's all that stuff. And I remember when they stopped, they completely cut Avalanche Studios like out from like the knees. It was the most popular toys of life. They were making money hand over fist. And Disney was like, yeah, we just really don't want to deal with making video games anymore. And I don't know. And you can argue that they've had mixed results with this approach. With that, like, yeah, Jedi Fallen Order was really, really good. But the whole Battlefront loot box thing, that did not go well. Yeah. And then the Avengers Square Enix game has not gone well. So we'll see. It's crazy times. Crazy times.
Sure is. Well, does anybody else have anything else before we wrap this shindig up? No. All right, well, let's do it because it's pie time. Everybody, thank you for listening to Amalgamation Nation, AM Nation Pod. This will be up in the morning. If you're watching live, it'll be up in the morning for you guys to check out on your podcast platforms such as Spotify, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, and more. Follow the show on theirs, whichever one you use. Leave a review if it allows it, and also share it with a friend. We appreciate it. On Twitter and Instagram, you can follow us at AM Nation Pod on both of those. On YouTube, search Amalgamation Nation and hit that sub button. If you have any questions or comments for the show, leave a voicemail or text the show, 815-556-9089. Also, twitch.tv/UndeadBlackBull is where you go and find us streaming weeklies on Tuesdays and Thursdays. You go on there, give them a follow and a sub as well. That is twitch.tv/UndeadBlackBull. Danny's already over here, like, ready for the pie. I'll tell you when it's time. Hold on. Hold on, man. My goodness.
And he just wants to launch. He's going to be like,
he's just going to launch it. So, of course, what's the same?
Just see a pie go past your face. He just misses completely.
I think he's trying to make up for what he did, and he's trying to put the candy in the pie. Don't drop the pie. Don't drop you. Go do it on the table. Go over to the table and do it. There's only one pie.
Do it now as he closes.
Right, now I'm not going to lose the pie. So the $500 goal is met. We're raising money all month for St. Jude's Children's Hospital. So I am taking a pie right after this show, right here on twitch.tv/UndeadBlackBull. If we hit the goal of 600 by the end of the month, Mrs. BK is throwing a pie in Mr. BK's face. So that'll be great. We could do it.
You can call her CK if that.
How to say it, Mrs. Brendan Quinterly.
You can call her CK. You can just call her CK.
CK is fine, BK.
You call her CK.
Where's DK?
CK Lois.
There's no DK. Well, like we had the names are already picked up for the future because they're also CKs. Oh, so
okay, gotcha.
So you're gonna be Donkey Kong. You're gonna be Tiny Kong. You're gonna be Lanky Kong.
Who's Funky Kong? So use the link
right here. The guy with the beard.
Use the link on our Twitter. It's pinned tweet on there at AM Nation Pod to donate for St. Jude Children's Hospital. It's also on David's Twitter at Undead Black Bull, and as well down below on twitch.tv/UndeadBlackBull. He has a link and a QR code as well. Junior, I know you're probably not prepared, but do you have a quote of the week?
Yes, I do.
Oh, of course. And Junior, take it away with the quote of the week.
You are not prepared.
Strive for progress, not perfection.
As always, everybody, be safe, love one another, and stay breezy.